Wow. Yeah. Oh, if you take your Bibles and open them up to Psalm 23, and as you're turning there, I like to just tell you a story about a pastor, Pastor Rob Harding. And Rob, when he was a young man, he was about 14 years old, and his dad said to him, "Hey, in a few years, you're going to start to drive, and I'm going to buy a car for you." Now, being the young man that he was, in his mind, he thought of muscle cars. He thought of cars like Camaros and Fiber, Transams, all right, Dodge Challenger. He was thinking, "Oh, my dad's going to get me a car. Soon I'm going to be going to college, and he wants me to have a car." He was thinking about what his dad was going to get him. He had high expectations. And what his dad brought home completely shocked him. All right? When his dad brought home the car and he said, "Hey, son, I brought home this car," and he put it out back, and he went out to look at it. It was just covered with all sorts of dirt and leaves and twigs. It had been left outside for a number of years. He couldn't even tell what kind of a car it was. He looked at that, and his heart was crushed. He didn't think about the gift that his dad was giving him. He just thought about his own expectations. He walked away. He went in the house, and it was like 2 more weeks before he talked to his dad again. It was about a month until he could walk out and take a look at that car. All right? And when he took a look at that car, he just couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe what in the world was his dad thinking? All right? His dad wanted to help him to restore the car. And finally, after a couple months, he got enough courage to ask his dad, "Well, what are we going to do with this car?" And he said, "Son, we're going to restore it." All right. And so the first thing they had to do is they had to wash the outside of the car. And there he found out it was an Oldsmobile Cutlass. All right. And the car was big and old, and he said, "Oh, I want," he knew deep in his heart he wanted a muscle car. He wanted to be able to race up and down the streets. But he looked at the car, and he washed it, and the windows and the outside of the car, and it started to look okay. And then they opened up the hood, and he looked at the hood, and it was covered with dirt and twigs, and animals had been living in there. And he thought, "Oh, you gotta be kidding. What in the world was my dad thinking?" And so slowly but surely, they cleaned the engine out. And they took and put new plugs and a new air filter. And they cleaned out, they changed the oil and the transmission fluid. And you know what? He never knew anything about cars. And the best part of it wasn't that he was working on this car, which would be eventually his. The best part was he was spending time with his dad. And as he was spending time with his dad, he realized how much knowledge his dad had. His dad had knowledge about cars, which he didn't even know that his dad had that kind of knowledge. And there were parts that they were able to repair. And then there were parts, and sometimes they didn't even sell these parts in stores. They had to go to junkyards and find parts. And that they did. And they got the engine running. And then they had to clean out the inside of the car. And oh, it took them a couple years. But by the time he was ready to get his license, He had to hug his dad and thank his dad. He fell in love with that car. And he told his dad that the best part of this was spending time with you. You know, just as Robert worked on and restored that car with his father, so God has made a restoration process for you and me. And this is what the communion service reminds us about today. Hey, that we're a work in process. God is working on your heart and on my heart. And he's transforming us and he's changing us. And he's helping us to be the people he has called us to be, to reflect his character. He wants to spend time with you and me each and every day. This is how we get restored. This is how we are transformed. Here in Psalm 23, yeah, this beautiful psalm, all right, which David wrote. And listen to the words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In any other words, he doesn't want anyone else. He wants the Lord to be his shepherd. He doesn't want anything in this world. He is completely satisfied with the Lord being his shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Hey, verse 3, he restores my soul. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it nice to know? Isn't it great to know that our God restores our soul? Yeah. If there's any problem with ourselves, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, yeah, the person we go to is the Lord. He's the one who cares. He's the one who can help us. He's the one who can bring healing and hope. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and let me tell you, death is only a shadow. Yeah, that's what he says. The valley of the shadow of death. A shadow can't hurt you. Yeah, it can't hurt us because of what Christ has done for you and me. It can't hurt us because Jesus went into the grave. He died on the cross. He was put in the grave, and he rose again on the third day. Yeah, and through that power that came back to life, that restoring power to Jesus Christ, he now shares with you and me. And death is but a shadow. Yeah, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table. Oh, yeah, praise God. He prepares a table for you and me that we can sit at so that we can have communion with him. He says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what the communion represents to all of us, that one day we will be in the house of the Lord forever. In Mark chapter 3, where our scripture reading came from today, there was a man who had a withered hand, and he was in the synagogue. And the Jewish people thought they understood why this man had a withered hand. And they understood that this man was a sinner, that he had done something wrong. And because of his wickedness, God struck him down. God made his hand wither. He could not use his hand. And think about it. If your hand was withered, you couldn't hug your wife. You couldn't hug your children. Yeah, you couldn't work at a regular job. Yeah, hey, Yeah, this man had a withered hand, and he had a withered hand, and there was a lot of guilt with it because the Israelites knew. Yeah, that was because he was a wicked man. And this man felt guilty. He felt ashamed. He felt alone. He felt burdened. He felt a pain. All right? Yeah, he had it all. He had it all. He experienced it all. Yeah, and it says that Jesus went into that synagogue. And here in verse 5, it says, "And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of the hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored." In other words, it was renewed. In other words, his hand could work once again. Yeah, in other words, his hand was like a new creation, like when he was born. Oh, wow. Yeah, it was restored. And that's what God does for each one of us. Just like his hand could work once again. Hey, God creates in us a new creation. He restores us. We find our happiness and joy and peace in him. He restores us. He restored this man's hand so that he could reach out to his family and hug them. It was something he couldn't do. Yeah, God restores families. Yeah, God restores relationships. God can restore. Hey, this man could get a normal job. This man was restored. Hey, he no longer had a withered hand, which meant he was forgiven. It meant that he was healed by God. He had a restored relationship with God. And that's what restoration means. And that's what communion is about. It reminds us that God has restored us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Today we rejoice over the restoration process. Hey, turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Yeah, here was a blind man. In Mark 8 and verse 25. Mark 8, 20, it says, "And he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly." Yeah, he was restored. In other words, he could see again because of sin. Hey, our eyes are blinded. We're blinded to who God really is. We're blinded to what God has done for us. We're blinded to see how much God loves us and cares about us. But the communion service reminds us, hey, we don't have to live in blindness. That God has restored us to him, and that through Jesus Christ we are forgiven, we are cleansed, we have a new life in Jesus. We can experience it now. We can experience it today. That the moment we put our faith and trust in him, yes, we can have a new heart, a new life. Yeah, turn with me to chapter 9. Chapter 9 of the Gospel of Mark and verse 12. And here in chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, "And then he answered and told them, 'Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things.'" Yeah, Elijah. Hey, he was referring to John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and he called for everyone to repent, to get right with God. And that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to prepare our hearts. He wants us to get ready because he's coming the second time. And this is what the communion service reminds us of: our need, our dependence upon Jesus. Today we celebrate communion, but we celebrate the restoration process that Jesus has made available to you and to me. Years ago, back in the 1970s, there was a pretty well-known football coach, college football coach. His name was Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes loved to win. And because of this, he sort of had a chip on his shoulders. Now, I know none of you have chip on your shoulders, but he had an attitude. And I don't know if you ever had an attitude or know someone who has an attitude. Well, Woody Hayes did everything he could to win. All right? And if that meant he was going to yell at his players, he yelled at his players. And if it meant he was going to do it during the game, he would do it during the game. And there were times when he not only yelled at his players, he yelled at the coaches. And he not only yelled at the coaches, yeah, he yelled at the referees. He not only yelled at the referees, but he yelled at the other team. And he yelled at the other team's coaches. He would yell at the fans. Yeah, he was a coach, and he hated to lose. He did everything to win, all right? And he won a lot of games, all right? Over 80% of his games he would win, all right? He almost won 300 college football games, won about 5 national championships. He was quite the coach. Well, one day he went too far, and he hit a player of the other team. All right, during a football game. Well, Ohio University had enough, and they fired him. Okay? They fired him. It made big news all over. And Tom Landry, his football team, the Dallas Cowboys, he was the coach of the Cowboys, was going to the Super Bowl that year. And he invited Woody Hayes to come and to be part of their practice. Now, he didn't ask him to coach the team or anything like that, but he invited him. And some of the press saw Woody Hayes at the practice of the Dallas Cowboys. And they said, "What in the world is Woody Hayes doing here?" Tom Landry kind of smiled, and he said, "Hey, look, he made a mistake. And when we make mistakes, we need a friend. And when we make mistakes, we need a second chance." Now, that's what communion is about. It allows us, it reminds us that we have a friend. Reminds us that we have a second chance. And today, as we celebrate communion, I want you to know we celebrate an open communion in this church. We invite anyone to participate or to observe. Yeah, we begin our communion service with the ordinance of humility, where we wash one another's feet. Downstairs, we have several rooms, okay? Downstairs, we have several rooms, one for the men, one for the ladies, one for families that would like to stay together, all right? And we go there and we wash one another's feet. And if you have a hard time going down the stairs, back in my office over here, yeah, we have room for people to wash one another's feet there. And then after we're done washing one another's feet, we come back into the sanctuary and we partake of the emblems of Christ's broken body and shed blood. It's an open communion service, and we invite everyone to be here with us to participate or to observe. At this time, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we will go into our separate rooms. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for this time where we can reflect on what Jesus has done for each one of us. Thank you for your restoring power. And Lord, restore us today. Help us to be the men and women you have called us to be. Forgive us, cleanse us, renew us, empower us, strengthen us, save us in your everlasting kingdom. That is the desire of our hearts right now. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being here with us. Bless this communion service to your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.